Hey everybody, it's Paul Scheer from How Did This Get Made? I wanted to let you know that we have a brand new website. It's hdtgminfo.com. You can find out everything that you need to know about How Did This Get Made on that site, where we're doing live shows, where to buy tickets, what the movies are. Everything and anything is there. And I want to let you know that we have shows coming up in New York and Denver and in some other places that we can't quite announce yet. So bookmark hdtgminfo.com. Today's episode is dedicated to Kevin Dreifuss. Is he the son of Richard Dreyfuss? We'll never know. But why do we sing his name? Why do we shout it out? Because this dude decided, you know what, man, this podcast for free, maybe I'll chip in some bones. Maybe I'll give them something out of my hard-earned money. And you know what? He did. He gave us $100. That's amazing. And those people who listen for free, you're not amazing. But he is more amazing than you. So this episode is dedicated to Kevin Dreifuss, maybe son of Richard Dreyfuss. Thank you, Kevin. Matt Lauer stars in a movie. We saw Sharknado 2, so you know what that means.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater, cause you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? Sharknado edition. I am joined, as always, by my two co-hosts. Please welcome Jason Manzoukas. How are you, Jason?
Oh, yeah. Really great, Paul. Really, really great.
And June Diane Rayfield. How are you, June?
I'm okay.
Oh, wow. Really? All right. This is a sequel episode. So, as you know, every time we do a sequel, we bring back our original guest, and we are not changing it up for this one. We are bringing back the amazingly talented, the tremendously funny Scott Aukerman. Welcome, Scott.
Hi, guys. I have a little more energy and gratitude for being here than these two,
I guess. Yeah, I know. Thank you.
Boy.
I mean, you are now an official Sharknado expert.
Yeah, I do have to say, you guys did it to me again. You asked me to be on the show a week ago, and you said we had to watch Tyler Perry's Hell Hath No Fury like a woman scorned.
That is what I
And did the old sharkaroo or switcheroo, as I call it.
Switch it up on you all the time. We're going to make you watch all the Tyler Perry movies, but
I'm getting there.
As Mr. Egg.
How many times will I fall for it? This is an annual event at this point.
Here's the thing. Just to get it off my chest right away, I kind of like this movie. I feel like...
Why? Okay. Why do you like this?
I'm going to say this. I felt like there is an idea... Because of a sequel, because the first one was so kind of... It caught on in a way. I felt like they didn't fall into the traps that I thought it could have fallen into.
Which would be what?
Being way more campy. Like, I still felt
You thought this wasn't way more campy?
I felt like
Matt Lauer and Al Roker stabbed a shark to death.
That was pretty great.
With an umbrella.
Believable. Believable. But I guess what my thought was is, like, that they would be showing their embarrassment a little bit more. And I felt like everyone committed the same way. Like,
yes, you're right about that.
And I feel like I what they think is funny is not necessarily what I find funny in it. And I think that there's still enough in it that is different than like what...
See, that's the line I had a hard time drawing. Like, what they were finding funny and sort of commenting on.
Yeah.
And what was actually funny about the first one.
I feel like they are, you know, anytime you're making an intentionally, quote, bad, unquote, movie... that's not the stuff that I'm finding funny. Exactly. What I'm finding funny are the weird stuff that they are unintentionally making.
That's right.
And that's exactly like what I like. And I thought that this movie had tons of it that were really small and specific. But then there were weird choices. Like the opening of the movie is like the airplane going through the clouds, but that is from the movie Airplane or Airplane 2. So it was...
As was the pilot of the airplane.
That's Robert correct. Hayes.
Robert Hayes from Airplane.
Meaning the tail of the airplane looking like a shark's fin.
Yes.
Coming through the clouds,
And
then that whole segment was the Twilight Zone episode where there's something on the wing of the plane.
But see, that's... I feel like the writers in those types of things are trying to go, look how smart
we are. Oh, every step of the way, they're just... All of their homages are like, haha, can you believe we're doing this?
Yeah.
But it was homage with no spin.
No.
It was just the
recreation.
It was sort of like, this is similar.
Yes.
And that should be enough for you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Look at the lengths to which we went to.
Yeah.
The thing that I was also very confused about is they're coming from L.A. to New York. So they're over land. Yes. I do that flight a lot. That's an overland flight.
Really? So, you do that flight a lot?
I do that flight a lot.
What's going on with your career?
Jet setting with Paul Scheer.
My family lives in New York, so I get to go back a couple times a year.
Well, just for family purposes. Yeah,
family purposes.
Wow, so you've got the kind of money where you can travel cross-country multiple times a year.
To visit family.
Yeah, you know, JetBlue.
Back in the little House on the Prairie days, they said goodbye to their family if they ever moved across the country. They would never see them again.
That's the benefit of this living in this world right now.
Yeah, it's also the benefit of this job that you're doing. You've got that crazy stamps.com money.
Oh, I'm pulling in money from Nature Box. I'm pulling in Cards Against Humanity money. I mean, I'm so excited to be making my fortunes in podcasting that I'm able
to
fly.
Great.
But so it's a land flight. And there is a tornado full of sharks.
Yep.
By the way, if you are hearing a baby, our baby, June and my baby, is here doing his first podcast. He might add a thought or two.
Yeah.
So they don't even explain why the Sharknado happens.
No.
The first movie was like they collected all the sharks and they got sucked up.
Yes.
This one.
Nope.
Nothing.
The Sharknados exist.
Sharknados.
Or do they? Because that was the weird thing too. Like for some people, it seemed like Sharknado was not something that they had heard of, or like it was such distant history.
But every single person who sees Ian Ziering says, "Hey, you're that famous guy who battled the Sharknado." Right.
Oh yeah, they've written a best-selling book about it.
Which, if you could argue that, which I'm holding here in my hand, for the camera, you guys getting a shot of this?
Oh, by the way, if you know how to watch the live video stream of How Did This Get Made, then you're enjoying this.
Yeah, this is
live
great.
Video podcast going on right now.
This has been really great.
If you haven't heard about it, then you're not one of the cool kids.
And we're also in front of a live studio audience, and we love our audience.
Oh, very silent. Every member of the studio. The audience gets $1,100 to be here.
Bound and gagged, but they are enjoying it 100%. Technically, Hollywood, Los Angeles, is destroyed. I mean, because the last Sharknado ripped down the Hollywood sign.
Is it an alternate universe where Hollywood is destroyed? Or I guess it would have to be, wouldn't it?
Well, it's not an alternate. I mean, it is an alternate universe. It's not an alternate universe.
Here's my question.
Are you asking if this is a documentary?
The first one is obviously an alternate universe because the Sharknado did not actually tear through Hollywood. The Hollywood sign did not come down. That one is in an alternate universe. Is this one in our present universe?
Wait.
What is happening?
This is a very elaborate bit.
It's a very meta bit that he's saying that he lives in. The first one was not a documentary. If that's the question you're asking, happen in the first one.
I'm just wondering, at what point do the time streams diverge?
Is that why you have not gone to New York after you saw the movie Godzilla?
Oh, no, I will not go. Yeah. No.
Yeah, no, this takes place in the movie universe.
Do all movies take place in the movie universe, by the way?
Yes.
Do you know how, like, in any Sherlock Holmes movie or
the Robert Downey Jr. ones?
Or the recent Sherlock, no one ever says, like, oh, you're Sherlock Holmes, like the famous Sherlock Holmes? In the recent Amazing Spider-Man 2, he has a ringtone, which is the Spider-Man cartoon theme song.
Yeah.
And yet, Spider-Man, he is the first existence upon this.
So maybe that theme song was used for another popular cartoon that he is a fan of?
But I also think that in the Spider-Man 2 universe, I doubt that the Avengers movies exist.
Well, of course not. Are you just promoting comic book movies?
Yeah, Blu-ray comes out today, actually.
For which?
For Amazing Spider-Man 2.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh.
Okay,
yeah,
great.
I get a little piece of it. Does every movie take place in one universe?
For the sake of this, we'll just argue that this movie in particular takes place in a parallel universe. The first one and the second one.
But these two movies take place in a universe that not all other movies take place in.
Exactly.
But it is the same universe that The Fault in Our Stars takes place in.
Because you saw all the damage.
And The Hangover 2, one and three.
Not one and three, but just Hangover 2.
I did read an article today that was like, Hangover 3 finally happens for real. Giraffe gets head cut off on highway overpass.
Giraffe.
That's how you pronounce it, right?
Is that one of those words you've only read?
Yeah, giraffe. Isn't it giraffe? Giraffe gets a head cut off.
You know, the pianist from The Muppets. Giraffe.
But yes, L.A. is destroyed. And so you would think, and it is to certain people, big news. And then other people are like, I don't believe in this Sharknado. Like,
that's what it was.
It destroyed a city.
It was as if, you know, to me, Sharknado was like that movie universe is September 11th.
Yes,
right.
Of course.
Something catastrophic has happened in the world of this movie. And you would think that everybody, and there were some people like Kelly Osbourne, who is the stupid stewardess, who's like, wants them to sign her book.
So by the way, I have to ask about that. She comes up to Ian Ziering and says, hey, can you sign my book? And he goes, I didn't write it.
Right.
It's about him.
Yes.
He sign a book that's about him?
He can sign it too.
Oh, but
he does not sign it.
Can we talk about Tara Reid's handwriting?
Oh, I wrote that down.
I did too. I like freeze framed on Tara Reid's signature, and it is as if your baby wrote it.
It looks,
can't hold anything yet, so that sounds right.
I would describe it as like when regarding Henry, when Harrison Ford got shot and he's learning how to write again, that is the level of writing.
Or if she held a pen between her two hands pressed together in like the prayer format, preposition, and then tried to write like that. Like, what's crazy is her handwriting it starts off the movie reminding you how terrible she is in the whole entire thing. She can't even scrawl her name
correctly. Let alone
act. Yes.
And she doesn't, and this is an author now. She is an author, and she doesn't sign the book. She just writes her name in what's the opposite of cursive, just in block letters.
Right. Yeah. Block letters. And then, by the way, says to Kelly Osbourne, by the way, I'm having a signing tomorrow. You should come to it.
Yep.
She just got her book signed.
Yes.
Why does she need?
And she needs bodies in the seats. Barnes & Noble is very
specific. Gotta get her to come out. But the idea that these people start off like they are celebrities or whatever because of the Sharknado, but then when the Sharknado returns to New York where they are now, people are genuinely like, what are you talking about?
And no one believes them.
People are like, we want to go to the baseball game. We want to whatever. And they're like, we got to get out of here.
The plane crashed land at JFK because of a Sharknado. And no one believes it.
Everyone just talks about it like a plane had an emergency landing.
And nobody's mentioning sharks. Sharks were meanwhile falling on JFK Airport.
Which, by the way, Ian Ziering, when the Today Show and Matt Lauer says, hey, a plane made an emergency landing, it then cuts to a press conference that he did.
Oh, I love
about
that.
It.
Yes.
And he talks about, well, this is a Sharknado or whatever. And then it cuts to him rushing through the hospital by Tara Reid's side. Yes. Why is he doing a press conference before rushing to the hospital?
He took a moment just to do a press conference.
Okay.
There is so much news footage in this movie.
Yes. Yeah. What happens, though, is just so that we can jump right into the actual Sharknado part. They're on the plane. The plane flies into the Sharknado. The Sharknado.
Sure.
And like the pressure, the cabin pressure, a hole is ripped in the side of the plane. Mm. People are sucked out. Somehow Kelly Osbourne is still able to walk up and down the aisle going, everything's okay.
Yeah.
Everything's okay.
By the way, I just want to say, if you think June is not talking, she had to step out for a second because she's continuing to take great care of our baby.
Our boners got too big.
Yeah. It was just too much.
She couldn't reach the mic.
I do want to talk about it. Before we get out of the plane, there's a couple things that are worthy of mentioning. Kelly Oxford is in this movie well.
Yeah.
Kelly Oxford, who you might know as a Twitter personality, a book author.
Is she the person who goes in the bathroom?
Yes.
Yes.
Why does she smell the bathroom when she walks in?
He was only in there for a second.
And he wasn't pooping.
No.
And I thought it was going to come back like, she smells fish.
Yeah.
Like, what is that?
Yeah.
And then a shark is going to
come out of the thing. Yeah, no.
It's just for her to walk in and go.
Yeah.
Ew, yeah.
Like, did we also notice that Steve Sanders, Ian Ziering, is wearing a shark tooth necklace?
Oh, yeah. That's
from the
new
beginning.
Well, his name is Finn, which I'm still confounded by that. His name is Finn and sharks have fins.
I want to know this. This is what I want to know. Okay, no, wait. So sorry. So then we cut to the cockpit and the pilots are like, this weather's getting real crazy. Yeah. A shark flies into... There are sharks that are airborne that fly in and out of the plane. In the cabin, they're eating people. They eat the pilots and suck them out into... Why can the sharks... breathe air?
Well, that has always been an issue.
This is never answered. I get it. And sharks get sucked up out of the ocean by a tornado. Fine. They would die almost instantaneously of asphyxiation and just be shark corpses.
Well, isn't the tornado, it's filled with moisture, though?
Moisture, not breathe. Sharks need to get oxygen.
Do they?
Oh, God.
I wish June was here because she might have an opinion.
Oh, she's the shark expert.
Yeah, she has an opinion on that. Now, but here's the other, my issues are, too, the sharks also act like bullets.
Yes.
But they seem to be thrust against their own will, but when they are flying, they're like, well, fuck it, I'm going to eat this person's head too. Like, so they have total control and no control at the same time.
They are just projectiles of teeth.
Yes.
And if a person gets in their way, it's chompa, chompa, chompa. That person either gets cut in half, decapitated.
Well, I would say a lot of headshots. In this movie, everyone's head is just coming clean off.
Doesn't it seem like they're aiming for the people, though? Almost like they can swim around in the thing?
Well, not only that, but Steve Sanders later, like, harnesses one and rides it like a bucking bronco through a tornado.
But here is my issue with that. Sharknado, which Matt Lauer refuses to say, which I like as a funny runner. I will say this. A huge missed opportunity when he rides that shark at the end, because he is a surfer.
Yep.
Yeah.
Surf it.
That shark, man.
Surf that shark.
That shark.
Yes.
It was
so close.
Huge missed opportunity.
So close to surf that shark.
I want to know. Okay,
I would have loved like a little bit of like Wipeout starting. Really good.
That's really great.
That's really good.
Have you done that before?
Never done that before.
Interesting. Well, we should get you. Well, we should talk about some stuff. Maybe you should come to New York with me on my next trip.
Oh, I would love to.
I have some people there that really might take an interest in that.
At one point, Ian Ziering, the pilot is eaten, so he gets behind. Anytime he wants, there's an opportunity to act the hero, he jumps for it. He just gets and says,
I'm the hero.
Yeah.
He, out loud, will say he's the hero.
But he gets behind the wheel of the... Is it a steering wheel?
Yeah, sure. A steering column.
He gets on the radio and he says, hey, this is flight 209. My thing is, how does he know what flight number it is?
If any of us got in that thing, we would not be as well put together as him. Have you ever remembered the flight number of a flight you're on,
like, after you've stepped on the plane?
Not only that, I do
because I fly the same flight to New York and L.A. a lot.
Do they let you fly the plane?
Well, sometimes, you know, just for fun. I'll get in there just to do that.
Yeah. But here's my question, and this may be, I may not be remembering this from the previous.
Is he a pilot? No.
See, that's the thing. I was wondering that too.
He flew up in somebody else's chopper in the first movie. Was he flying though? He was not.
He was not.
Because he gets into the cockpit of a plane that has lost two engines, that has a depressurized cabin, a depressurized cockpit, and he gets on the horn and he lands the plane.
By the way,
747.
Here's my other cameo.
How?
This should have been my other cameo. We should have cut to Sully Sullenberger going, now that guy's good.
Yeah. I would have loved that.
How many cameos do you think were in the movie? I counted, so I know.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I didn't even know Kelly. Who was it? Kelly Oxford, isn't it? So there are people that.
Oh, I want to say something. Sorry, just about Kelly Oxford, because Kelly Oxford reminds me of the scene in the bathroom where he's like freaking out and he goes and he splashes bathroom water on his face.
Yeah.
I just want to say,
because he thinks he's hallucinating.
Do not go into an airplane bathroom and splash the water.
That
on
water
your face.
Is not potable.
You shouldn't even wash your hands in airplane.
Is that
water.
True? Really?
No, not at all. You're better off just using Purell. It's so dirty. Airplane bathrooms, the water, everything is so dirty that you should definitively never use it.
It's disgusting. It's like washing your hand in like a porta potty.
Yes.
Ugh.
What's wrong with that?
Oh,
what?
Oh. And you know how like everybody certain directors have a certain style. In the opening airplane sequence, they developed this new style, which is called blurry cam.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess we can't get the shot totally right, so they just make it really blurry.
It makes it blurry,
so you really can't tell what's going on.
Add some shake, add some light ring.
Sorry, Paul, to get back to your question, I'm going to guess 35 cameos.
35 cameos.
Cameos? Well, see, this is the thing. In that scene
the band cameo.
Oh, yes. Of course, the band came. And I'm not counting like people like Mark McGrath.
I'm counting literally the cameos.
Okay. Because in that scene with Jared from Subway, it seemed like there were two people next to him that I should.
There was a bunch of those.
That I should recognize, but I don't know who they are, you know? So if you're counting those people, people I did not actively even remember.
Right.
Then cameos, I would have to say there's 23.
Okay.
35.
Yeah. 35. Do you have a
June's back.
I do have a number.
It almost felt like I I felt at one point like, oh, every extra is a is
that's what,
something
that's what it seemed like.
That
yeah.
I don't even know, yes. but I know yeah. is someone.
I felt so like it was like
you count because you knew all the people, like what you counted along, or you have a lit you found it online.
I counted along and then I have gone back and looked.
Okay. Supplemented your information.
There's only one person that I missed in the list of that I've
I'm
seen online.
Say 50.
Okay. Kurt Angle was the one I didn't get. He was the fire department guy in New York. I didn't know what Kurt Angle looks like.
I don't know what that is. So,
who's Kurt Angle?
Kurt Angle, I believe, is a wrestler.
Okay.
I don't know.
Okay.
I know. Yes, yes, yes.
I okay. can tell I knew he was somebody. Yeah.
I mean, almost anyone could be considered a cameo.
Celebrity you know what I mean? Cameo. Celebrity cameo.
But you
cameos.
Know what I mean? Like, maybe, like, Jared from Subway is technically a cameo, but it's yep. also the most lines he could probably get should he audition
sure.
for something.
So well, I guess, like, celebrity appearances. So the number is 27.
Ooh, 27, that was the closest,
yes.
Baby.
27 little
Screw
guest
you.
Ones.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Oh, boy, I don't
Shipwreck,
like that.
Baby.
I did like the fact that I did feel like, though, they cut to certain people in the crowd, and I was always like, yeah. is that person famous, or is that person just, like, I felt like Kickstarter contribution people, even though that didn't right. happen
oh,
in this movie.
Yeah.
I just felt like it was like, hey, my sister wants yes. to be in the movie. Hey, my brother wants to be in it, mm-hmm. which is also leads me to some of the music in this movie, like some weird acoustic guitar sometime,
oh.
and I was
well,
like,
yeah,
oh,
well, like, no, there were all these
Who was the guy playing
songs?
Guitar on the subway?
That guy, yeah.
Who I was like, this must be somebody, because they kept cutting back to him singing different songs.
That's what I'm saying. That
and he didn't get killed.
No, we can't, because that music
have
can't
you guys, I know I missed a couple of minutes. Have you started to talk about just the story?
Not really. Yeah. We're still in the prologue, actually.
Oh, okay,
yeah.
great. You're still talking about Tara Reid's handwriting?
Yeah, we did. Oh. And we also wanted to get your opinion on why you think these sharks are able, because we were saying that they
yeah,
can't
Yeah, you're the shark
there.
Expert.
Well, you know what I actually was thinking this time around? It seems strange to me. All of a sudden the thought occurred to me, if I'm a shark and I'm swimming along, I somehow get caught up in a tornado.
Uh-huh.
You'd be surprised.
You're in the mind of the
Probably.
Shark.
Yes.
I love this.
Right? Well, here's – yes, Scott. This is the thing. I'd be
It would be shocking
shocked.
To you, right?
I would yeah. be shocked.
You would be sharked.
I would be totally sharked.
Would you be shocked to find out that you were in midair?
I don't know if the first thing I would do is want to eat and attack.
Well,
all of a sudden it occurred to me, like, these sharks are, you know, sharks swim around for a while in the water and don't necessarily attack everything they see.
Okay, imagine this. Say you're in your house tonight,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden the burglar alarm goes off.
Oh, God.
Would you fry yourself up an omelet first before
well,
attacking?
That's a very good question. But, well, yeah.
Okay. No, I wouldn't.
No. There you go. You're proving your point.
No, but here's my point. Let's see. Let me.
But sharks are only hungry when they're provoked.
Guys,
and that tornado.
Sharks cannot breathe in air. It would be like saying tonight you are sucked from your bed and put 2 miles underwater.
Well, in
what if it were a whirlpool? What if it were? If there's some air in the whirlpool, especially if you're in the middle of it.
Wait a second. It would work the same way for us. We all eat fish or. Right?
Mm-hmm. People, yeah, yeah.
So if we got pulled into the water, would we just immediately start eating
like,
fish?
Chomping on some fish? No.
If fish started slapping me in the face in the middle of a human pool, which
yes.
would be the equivalent of a Sharknado.
What we have forgotten to say, a human pool?
Sure. sorry, whirlman.
A whirlman? Ooh, I like that. What we've forgotten to say, I apologize, is as the Sharknado hits the plane and the plane is ripped open, Tara Reid's hand is eaten
yeah.
off.
Yeah, oh, I've totally forgotten. Just,
a shark.
She's
which,
holding a gun.
Which appears.
She's shooting at the shark.
Oh, yes. She's
and
shooting at the
dead
shark.
Dead on aim.
Yes.
Amazing
yeah.
aim.
She shoots it in the eye. She says, the shark has a scar. She appears to think the shark remembers her.
Yes.
Which made me think of Jaws 4.
Well, right.
By the way, that was the whole problem with the original Sharknado, which was that. Well,
there was one problem with the original Sharknado.
That was the only problem
the
I could see.
That was the whole problem.
The
which
only
was
problem what? I saw was that it seemed like we were tracking one shark
yep.
and then all sharks at the same time, but that
but
there
that
was a battle against
back,
one
right?
shark. I thought that that was the shark.
I thought it was going to be. I thought
there seemed to be a moment of recognition.
Did that shark come back at the end of this movie?
Oh, no. Yes, it did.
It did.
It did because it had her arm in its mouth.
Oh, I didn't realize that. I thought it was just another. Oh,
I'm sorry. At the end of the movie,
my God.
Ian Ziering pulls.
Yes,
no. That's not her arm.
Yes, it is. It's got her wedding
ring
on
it.
No, it's not because he says she's not going to need this again.
She doesn't.
She can't put it back on.
No, it's her whole Scott? Arm was not eaten off.
Scott, I am
just her hand.
I guarantee just get her the
hand.
Fuck out.
Scott,
get out of here.
Fuck the fuck out of you. I am shocked that you guys think that this is no. her arm.
No, when he reaches in the mouth.
Why would
he reaches in the mouth and he pulls out, they show her ring on
There's
the plane.
Why would
it, so
he say she's not going to need this again?
Because yeah. they can't put it
she
back
She can't
on.
Put her wasted, shriveled arm.
But why would he say she? Floppy? Because she's right next to him. You
because
wouldn't say
she, he doesn't. He barely
if
recognizes
you are right next
her
to me,
as a yeah. human.
If you, well, okay, I understand. That.
I'm looking up.
She may not have even been there.
According to ABC News, it says at the end of the movie, Ziering finds a shark that ate Reed's hand and gets the wedding ring back by ripping it out of the chewed arm. And it says, baby, will you marry me again? And she says, yes.
But he says, literally, I wrote this down.
Yes,
he
so
says, she's not going to need this again.
He's making a joke.
Yep.
But who's the she?
He's saying it to himself,
she
like,
married.
I'm not going to need this again.
Yeah,
like,
you, because that's a, she that's can't hear him.
It doesn't make any fucking sense.
Oh,
she's
really?
Not going to need this again.
Oh, really? You're going to get really upset at the logic of this?
How does that line
Every
make any sense?
Every person in the city of
she's
New York
not gonna need this
continuously
again.
Runs into
himself.
Each other.
Who is he saying it to?
Why is Judd Hirsch at the other stop with his taxi cab?
Because he knows that if anyone were to get out of that big situation at Met Stadium, it would have been them.
You are out of order. You are out of order. Order.
Guys, there's so many great...
Well, actually, can I say one thing about the ring? It was... that really was confusing because my question is, were they engaged in the beginning? Why did she...
They were married,
they were married.
Divorced,
I
and were trying to make
that.
It work.
Why was she wearing an engagement ring, Jason?
I don't know. Man.
But was it a wedding ring?
Wearing an engagement ring.
She put it back on. She put it back on.
Was it like, from the end of the first movie? Did
yes,
he like give
I think so, yes.
Okay.
Or maybe in the first movie, her hand swelled around the ring and she had to wear it in the second movie.
By the way, I got to say, Tara Reid, great job for holding out. She wrote a book and she didn't reconcile through that entire time.
Right.
Although, it brings me to when we're talking about these confusing lines of dialogue, this is another confusing line at one point where someone goes like, we have to go to the, they're just going to go see baseball. And someone goes, that's, no problem. June is going to take a break
June's
again.
June's going to take another break. That's fine.
Get out of here, baby. You cool
baby,
dude.
Baby, don't you like talking about bad movies?
You cool dude.
Baby is very upset about the ring argument.
There
he goes. Bye, baby.
Look, I'm sorry. I'm sorry we argued. it through the eyes of a child, Jason, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I got so mad at you.
Apology accepted.
There's a lot of like lines in this movie that are written as if someone doesn't understand how language works. Like, that's a perfect example. Like,
yes,
she's not going to need this again, but then he gives it to her and she's standing right there.
Yeah.
But there's one point where someone goes like, they're off to see a baseball game, or I'm going to go to the baseball game. He's like, that's not the type of baseball I'm worried about. Yeah. Well, what does that mean in the context?
That's
to
crazy.
Yeah, like that's it's almost a pun, but it's not because they're worried. He's really worried about the Sharknado.
Well, there's like so many weird. The whole scene between Judah and Richard Kind.
Judah Friedlander, by the way, is in the movie not wearing one of his signature hats, which I literally have never seen him without one.
Well, in his real work, like in his like. Dramatic work and Meet the Parents and stuff, does he not wear hats?
Oh, he's in Meet the Parents.
Yeah.
Interesting.
He plays the Ben Stiller part.
Oh, wow. That's
he's
crazy.
Really good.
There's a whole scene between he and Richard Kind where Richard Kind has to talk about how he failed in his last scene. By the way, to the question of why aren't you in the Players Club eating the free food, he responds by telling a story.
Can I tell you a story, he says?
Yeah, which is not about why he's not down there in the Players Club.
Has nothing to do with the Sharknado, has nothing to do with any of the themes of the movie.
The movie. Like, the way news travels in this movie is so disjointed and strange.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
only through the Today Show, which is on 24 hours a day.
Through the Today Show, which is essentially CNN.
Yes. By the way, the Today Show has better graphics on the Today Show than this movie has in the actual movie.
Oh, for sure.
But, like, some people are evacuating Staten Island while some people are at Citi Field
just
chilling
out.
And when Ian Ziering comes to tell them, get out of here, a Sharknado is here, everyone looks at him like he's crazy.
And they're like, well, sit down, relax, hang out a little bit.
And by the way, it does seem like certain areas of the city are being greatly affected. Like, parts of New York are totally flooded.
Yep.
And other parts, it's like a beautiful day out.
Yes.
Right.
To be fair, within scenes, it switches from daytime to nighttime.
Yes.
Yeah. The same cinematography problems that the first one.
And that is kind of why I love this movie, because I feel like they didn't fix all the problems, and I don't think they were trying to do it more intentionally. Like, they didn't go more towards making it look bad. Right. It's sort of like, no, the same inept people did it again, and this is what they got.
They still can't pay extras, so there's a lot of scenes where there's
City
just
Field
like,
is empty. Empty.
Other than one extra, by the way, waving his arms like this as he ran. I don't know if you
saw. They have like
Kulak made me rewind that three times. Amazing. A guy running with his arms above his head back and forth.
There is no extra. They have no extras. They have nothing to fill out this world.
If you start to track one extra, you will see that same extra over and over.
Well, I would actually argue that Sharknado 1 is a better movie, though. Like, there were stakes in Sharknado. In terms of them getting back together and the kids having to prove something. And like, I couldn't figure out like what.
But this one had Andy Dick as a cop.
Yeah.
That was bizarre.
Oh, God, that's true.
And the bringing back together of Ian Ziering and Mark McGrath as their buddies from growing up.
Mark McGrath, like, how does he look so old and so young at the same time? He looks like a teenager who sat down and got old age makeup put on him, like Leonardo DiCaprio and J. Edgar or something.
Yeah. I said that he looks like a cold Ethan Hawke because he looks cold. Like, they did shoot this during the polar vortex.
Oh,
he
really?
Looks like he was chilly, and he looks like
shivering all the time. Yeah, just about to do.
Can I put my Parker back on?
Okay, put the Parker back on. Like every time you say cut, put it back on.
Though, just the relationships, because even before the Sharknado hits, what's happening is that Ian Ziering and Tara Reid, who are not married, not engaged, although they are divorced, but they are
trying to make it work.
And anytime someone says your wife, he goes, man, we're divorced.
Yeah.
And yet she has this ring on.
So, but yet they travel together. Though, we're setting up that, like, he may not want to be with her at all. Like, that there's something being set up.
And
that
especially when
Vivica Fox arrives.
She shows up, then I was like, oh, now it's going to get complicated.
Vivica Fox playing it really committing 100%, mm-hmm. but they were former lovers.
Oh, yeah.
But I didn't quite understand what her relationship.
Where?
High school.
They were former lovers 32 years ago
because
they are both 50.
Yes. And he says to her, I haven't seen you since graduation.
Yes. And she says,
high school graduation.
And she says, everyone in the old neighborhood still talks about you.
Yes. And he goes back to the old neighborhood's pizza place and is like, hey, Vinny, you still got those propane tanks?
Oh, are we talking about Vinny played by Biz Markie?
Biz Markie, yes.
Oh, yeah. That was crazy.
By the way, Biz Markie, when he says, are you out of your mind? He twirls his finger next to in the cuckoo motion.
Yeah.
That is the most surefire way. If you ever act in anything, if you ever have a line that says, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? Never do the cuckoo motion. It is the most surefire way to prove you are a terrible actor.
Also, Biz Markie makes a very interesting choice. A shark comes into his pizza restaurant, and they kill it and throw it in the oven. And the next scene, you see him kind of mopping the floor.
Yeah,
like, I got to kind of clean up before I get out of here.
To keep in mind, I'm cooking that shark at a low temp.
Yeah.
Ooh, so, shark pizza. So they're all in town for a high school reunion?
No.
They're
going to be on Kelly and they're going to be on Kelly and Michael to promote the book. But that's
Kelly.
They cut it.
But
can we talk about? Okay.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. So, but why is his sister there then, with her husband and kids?
They live there. I think they live
from the old neighborhood.
They
don't live there. They haven't seen the Statue of Liberty. You're right.
Yeah. Oh. Or maybe they live there and they have never seen the Statue of Liberty.
I mean, that's possible.
Maybe.
And by the way, it didn't look like they got the location permits for Statue of Liberty if they couldn't get past those police. Like, everything in New York is, like, you go, oh, you shoot in New York, everything gets, production values look great. Not here. It looked like they were shooting with, like, running and gunning.
Production values on that green screen were amazing.
But when, later on, when the head of the Statue of Liberty is rolling down the street, there's blood coming off of it.
From sharks, right?
I think because it crushed people.
Oh, okay.
Damon John,
it's not bleeding.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
My favorite.
The head is not bleeding.
But it looks so much like a severed head.
Jude, was your
there's
question,
no blood in the Statue
was your question is there actual
is there
blood
in
the Statue of Liberty?
Is there a woman, giant woman in there?
This does get to a common held belief, which there is a giant woman who was the Statue of Liberty is like Han being frozen.
The statue is a statue, yes.
I thought
it's a statue, but there is a tinier, slightly 99% scale woman.
It was made from the blood of an
It's like Han and carbonite, you know, it's that kind of a thing. You have to melt it, and then the woman will come out.
By the way, I think Damon, who I love from Shark Tank, one of my favorite sharks who never buys anything, his cameo, like, you're in Sharknado, get eaten by a shark. He's like, no, I'm the only one who's going to get killed by the Statue of Liberty head.
Yeah. Right.
Well, and
yeah.
I thought there, because he plays a shark in Shark Tank, there was going to be some sort
I
of.
I thought that he would punch a shark like, no, I am equal to a shark.
Yeah, I'm yeah. too shark.
Or he would try and.
Sharko a Sharko.
Yeah, yeah make yeah, the shark an offer.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah. he's like, how Here's about my, I invest 10%?
He's kicking your ass. Well, I want to say Kelly Ripa. They're supposed to go on the Kelly Ripa show.
The Rip?
Yes.
And
they're cutting it very close, by the way, because the Kelly Ripa show is like they must have had to land and yeah. run over to that.
How are
trip.
They? How? Yeah. What flight are, is this? Some sort of weird red eye where they well, get also, in at like 4
way,
in the morning?
He also had time to do an interview. Well, yeah, Tara before Reed's yeah, hand yeah. was severed off.
But my thing about Kelly shit. Is my thing about Kelly is. She sets up her shoes so that she can put her heel through a shark.
Yes.
I think so. They get a close-up of her
but
foot.
That close-up is so weird.
It's yes. weird because, and I took a picture of it, there's they a cover- huge bruise.
I think yes. they're covering a tattoo. I
really?
Think it's makeup covering a tattoo.
Who cares if she has a tattoo?
I That's agree. What
she,
well, maybe
look,
Kelly.
Look, I made a picture of it right here. That's huge. Yeah. That's a yeah. huge yeah. bruise
I
on her.
And it looked weird. I thought that they were saying that she was hurt by a shark
no,
earlier.
No, I thought they, it was they, makeup covering a tattoo.
And maybe it's a body double because she wouldn't actually do the shot.
We'll
and then
post
they actually
this on our website.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I think it's weird that you have that picture.
By the way, guys, I just typed up Kelly Ripa ankle tattoo, and she does. She has a dragon.
Yep.
No. It's like a flowers and a,
on
a
what,
mustache.
On which leg?
Right. On, it looks like
flowers
a right.
and a mustache?
I mean, it's on her right.
Like, wait a second. Did you wait. Just say flowers and a mustache?
That's what it looks like to me. Here, I'll show it to you.
Wait, does a vagina look like flowers and a mustache too, by the way?
It's like,
that's not a mustache.
I got a squiggly line.
Flowers and a mustache. Yeah, no, I want flowers. Ooh,
here,
and,
look.
And a mustache.
There, I'll show you guys, but that's what it looks like.
I got the flowers, but I didn't feel like it was good enough, so I added the mustache.
Okay, well, see, that
it's
is...
an old-timey mustache yep. and some flowers.
That is where the bruise supposedly is, but I also have to say that it doesn't look like the bruise is as big as her actual tattoo, so I think it's a body double that they had to, in post, put like some weird stain on her in order to match her tattoo or something.
Or
like
maybe match Kelly Ripa's like naturally tanned complexion.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a big mystery.
I think it's Kelly Ripa and it's makeup covering a tattoo.
But why
well,
would
this
she?
This is always the question, though. That
Sharknado is, there's people's heads being bitten off.
Maybe
they were going to cover it up, a tattoo?
No, maybe they cover it on the show every day.
I think that's
and they
more
didn't,
likely.
She,
and
I don't
think
shit.
She covers her tattoo on the show
you
every
are
single
yes,
day.
Exasperated
yes,
over
this.
This
is ridiculous.
Every single actor who shows up and goes into a makeup and hair trailer.
When they're playing themselves?
Covered. A lot of
no,
times.
What I'm saying
she's,
is.
She's,
what?
She's,
stop Scott, screaming at us.
Scott, calm down.
When do they
Scott,
do this?
Calm
this
down.
This is ridiculous.
Her audience is all stay-at-home moms in middle America. They don't
they
want to see a tattoo
tattoos.
On yeah. her ankle.
Kelly, stop
tattoos.
Covering the tattoo. We love you. Tattoos
yeah,
are
Yeah, I mean, and how
now.
Many times are they shooting? Oh, she's got one. Oh, she's also got a wrist tattoo that she doesn't cover up that says Consuelos, which is her husband's name. Mark
but
Consuelos.
She does. It says she does cover up the other one? Or are
I
you
don't
just
know.
Interpolating this?
I'm just seeing that she's next to Regis and she's showing it off, and Regis looks shocked that she's got a tattoo.
Oh, okay. Regis.
Yeah, Regis.
All right. Well, anyway.
That moment is.
Why isn't Regis in this movie?
That's
oh,
a
my
good
gosh.
Question.
By right? the way, is there? I thought that Kelly and Michael committed too hard, where Matt Lauer and Al Roker really played it straight. Matt Lauer legit has an arc in this movie.
Yep.
He does. Which is he goes yes. from
he's bewilderment
great. He's great.
To incredulous.
Yeah. And then he finally calls it a Sharknado. That's I would yeah. say that's his journey. He would call it a shark storm, and he finally gets the call
and,
it a
and
Sharknado.
He kills a shark. And
he kills a shark.
By the way, I know we acceptance. Talked about this in the last Sharknado, but I had to ask myself the question again. Why don't people, when the sharks are out of water, just let them like flail around?
Yes.
But they're flying
die.
Like bullets. But they're flailing like bullets.
But like yeah. the shark that
it's like, why don't you just let a bullet die? You're dead.
Well, the shark that landed near Kelly Ripa, like it could just
run away from
there.
It. Just run away from
oh,
it.
Yeah.
It's got like a maximum like 10
okay.
foot radius.
Yes.
Then it will flop around.
Say you were on a boat and a fisherman okay. was there and he landed a shark and it was flopping around next to you. Would you just stand there or would you go, and run away?
You'd run away.
Go, and run away. Yeah. But I wouldn't take out a spear and kill it.
Why not?
If you get a chance to kill a shark, you should.
You should kill totally a shark.
My absolute favorite, because we're not going in any kind of order, I feel
no,
like.
No,
my
no.
absolute There's favorite moment in this entire movie is when The Sharknado is ripping through Manhattan, and all of the people of New York are rising up to fight the sharks.
Oh, I love that!
Yeah,
moment.
Because that's what people in New York do.
And there's shot after shot of people opening car trunks and pulling out machetes or shovels.
They've been sitting there waiting for the Sharknado. Why don't they have the stuff in their hands already?
Then there's a guy who pulls a tarp off of a pickup truck where there is just chainsaws.
He starts ripping the chainsaws
and throwing them into the air into the tornado, the Sharknado. So the chainsaws will whip around themselves fighting the sharks in some sort of sharks versus chainsaws.
And it's a chainsaw NATO at that point. Yes.
And by the way, those chainsaws will come down.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Someone will get
They don't just go up to heaven.
Yeah, it was very irresponsible to throw those chainsaws into the Sharknado.
But that's what New Yorkers do.
I also feel like I know it's a regular joke, like, fuck New Jersey. But New Jersey was through a legit disaster only a year ago.
A horrible storm.
And yet they get no love.
Well, they keep talking about Jersey, like, don't go to Jersey.
Don't go, fuck Jersey.
I think they must have made this before Sandy.
No, they didn't.
Rob, then you're
maybe
right.
They didn't
that's
care?
Reprehensible.
I feel like this would have been a great time for that fat governor from New Jersey, Chris Christie, to come in and be like, "Hey, I couldn't handle this before.
Oh yeah,
give me a chainsaw and a shotgun." That would have been a great.
That would have been great.
I think it would have been a great opportunity for him to make fun of the scandal about closing off the
if he was like
bridges.
Hey, everybody, close the bridges.
Hey, acknowledge it in Sharknado 2 and just move on. Then we'd be ready to move on.
Sharknado, the lanes are closed. You can't get out of Jersey.
We would all have a good laugh and we'd forgive him.
Okay, so there's a bunch of beats. One of my favorite beats in this movie too is when, like, there's that hero moment where the hero saves one of the kind of moments where he saves the day for the people he's with, and he runs back and he joins them and he's like, in the movies it'd be like, "Oh my god, you've been shot," and he hasn't even noticed.
Right.
They're like, "Oh my god, look," and he has a baby shark that has bitten into his side and is just
attached
on
and flopping around.
He has a shark attached to his body that he has not noticed because of the adrenaline of saving the day.
And
there's a fish attached to him.
I'm gonna bring up something though that I have an issue with Ian's performance, which is when he loved it, I
thought he was great.
I believe he committed 100%, but I felt like he never knew how to land the one-liners because when that baby shark was attached to him, he's like, "Oh, that's gonna leave a mark," but he never like enjoyed it. Like he had another line.
What about
like,
"That's gonna leave a shark"? You know, like pump that. It up.
Boom.
Just a little bit.
Boom. I'm irritated. Why is everyone in the world in this movie? And we were not asked. We should have been asked to be in this movie.
Yeah, we talked about it.
I know. We offered to write it.
We offered everything, and you guys said no. So you have left us no other option
but to make our own Sharknado 3.
Yep.
Starring us.
I have to say, if all four of us were in a scene, I'm going to say they would have been appealing to some people.
Yeah, I think automatically half a mil more people.
And,
oh, by the way,
you could have killed us.
4 million people watched this last night.
Yeah.
4 million. It's like a Sci-Fi Channel record.
Wow.
The first one didn't even, I think, clear a million. Or it was very, like, and then over on Twitter, it was a ridiculous number of people in the Twitter
account. Tweeting about it.
Yeah, it was way more than before. So this movie is a bona fide.
They say they're going to make one every year.
Really?
Yeah.
I think
as far as Ian Ziering's performance goes, you know that expression of you act for free but you get paid to wait around?
Yes.
I think he acts for free and gets paid to kiss Tara Reid. That's the most pained expression on his face.
Do you think that Tara Reid asked for the PTSD role? Like, she's like, "I need my character to be a little bit more complex." Like, she's clearly
to match my acting style.
I have a question, and June, this question is for you.
What's up, Doc?
On the plane.
Before tragedy strikes, before the Sharknado, Tara Reid is in a white leather jacket. Okay? Mm-hmm. Symbolizing, I'm assuming, that she is She is one of the good guys. She is a white hat.
But in the last movie, she underwent a transformation where now she is newly a virgin. And she's
Sean Lowe from The Bachelor.
I don't think that was part of it, but okay. Once her hand is chomped off, she is wearing a black leather jacket and black fingerless gloves.
Ooh. And
one
and
black.
a white and a white like giant necklace.
Yes.
By the way, like giant.
Well, jewelry.
What do you think about this outfit change? How and why is she allowed to change outfits on a day when only a Sharknado is happening?
Well, she was in the hospital and she was in a gown.
By the way, they got
My feeling is that this was the outfit she was planning on wearing to Kelly and Michael.
Interesting.
And so she had it with her. I mean, it's
including fingerless leather glove. Which she is wearing.
I didn't see that.
Look, okay. She has a stylist,
I did notice, though, by
I
the
think,
way, when
right?
she was in the when she was in the hospital, I don't know if anybody else noticed that that hospital scene when she's in the bed, the robe she's wearing is like a Giants robe.
It's no.
Do you mean the New York Giants? Yes.
But yeah, they clearly couldn't afford like getting the extra gauze to tape up her hands. So she just pulled
she's
her arm into
giant,
a she pulled
robe.
Her arm in so her arm just didn't come out of the hole, the armhole.
Well, I did think something was happening where, I mean, she has so much makeup on the entire movie.
Oh, boy.
And
yeah.
It's like, I think there was a conversation where she was like, I get it. I know I'm like been through a tough day and had my limb cut off just hours before, but like I know how many people are going to be watching Sharknado. Yeah.
I need
there's
the next
no
movie.
There's a, yeah. Yes, there's no way I'm not doing full hair and makeup
and
a new outfit.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm going to argue that like everyone played it straight because they knew millions of people would be watching. Like 4 million people. That's more than that watch Mad Men on week to week. That's more than watch Breaking Bad. Like this is
that's more than watch Transformers or the last Star Wars.
Yeah. But I mean, like, but it's like, so they know that they have to bring their A game.
Not as many people as listen to this podcast.
Yeah,
yeah,
crazy.
Really amazing.
Put us in the next one.
Well, but there's a really funny moment with her, too, where I don't know if you guys talked about this, but when she's running out of the hospital, when they're evacuating the hospital, she has her own hero moment. Everyone does.
Go, go, go.
Right.
They're constantly saying go, go, go.
The girl that's cast as like the
helpless little girl
is 15 years old.
Oh, if not older.
She's so old.
As tall as Tara Reid.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And she's like hovering behind a filing cabinet saying she's scared.
And she's basically like.
Here's the thing, guys. Guys.
Why not just cast a young
girl? Here's the
thing.
When you cast a minor, you have to pay for a tutor. And a tutor is about $300 to $500 a day on top of the minor. The minor can only work certain hours. So they were casting 18-year-olds no matter
what. What if this was an 8-year-old girl and an 8-year-old girl is as big as Tara Reid?
Maybe that was her disease.
Oh, maybe.
She had the Jack disease or something like that.
Wow, that's why she's in the hospital.
She had Jack disease. Hey, you got Jack.
Didn't you think, though, they set up very clearly that the son's, Mark McGrath's son, has a photographic memory and also, like, something else. Never paid off.
No, he,
Mark McGrath also.
I didn't get any of these relationships. I don't get why they had a falling out.
Okay.
I can explain it. I can explain it, but it's not going to be compelling.
Who are the women who were with
So Mark McGrath,
on Staten Island.
Okay, so Mark McGrath is married to Kari Warr.
Who I love.
Okay.
Back at remote
Kari Warr is Ian Ziering's little sister.
Got it.
Okay, Ian Ziering and Mark McGrath used to be best friends growing up, and they call themselves what?
The dynamic duo.
The dynamic duo.
But he was
Batman
always
Robin. And
Robin.
Yeah. Okay, Batman and Robin, and that Robin.
Robin.
And that Robin.
Robin.
Giralf.
Giralf.
Is that a Giralf or a Robin?
Guys, you have to know that when we do this podcast, we all are reading from transcripts, so sometimes we do mispronounce this because.
Ian Ziering decides to hate Mark McGrath because he starts fucking his little sister.
Okay.
So they have never gotten along
since high school.
Vivica A. Fox, they had a love affair in high school.
But her dad did not.
Her dad didn't approve, so Ian dumped her and started dating the cheerleader,
Tara Reid.
Her
dad didn't approve she was... white.
Is that?
I don't know.
I
think that was what it was underlying.
Because I didn't know what was implied there.
Wait. So Vivica Fox and Tara Reid knew each other?
Yes.
Well, here's the question.
They all went to high school together.
Vivica Fox and Tara Reid are 16 years apart.
In actual life age.
But I mean, she says, "Oh, you're cheerleader." So I'm assuming she was a cheerleader at the same school.
I think she was not. Okay. I think that he went off to do whatever
he
does.
He's a professional surfer.
Yeah.
She was a cheerleader at a surfing event.
Oh, maybe.
And
maybe.
He started boning down.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he does say that to Vivica Fox. He was like, I thought I was a hero. I loved the crowds and all the adoration, basically, is what he's saying.
That was a great monologue.
I had so many crowds at surfing competitions.
Yes, exactly.
Wow. wipe out.
And then the other women, who is it? Who are Kari Wara's friends?
I don't know that.
They're just there to be shark fodder. They literally show up and go, hey, girl, and then they get eaten
but
one
that's
by one.
My question is, like, what is this weekend? Is it a girls' weekend in New York City where they're
like,
all
let's all go
together,
see the Statue of Liberty together?
Maybe it's like everybody's excuse is that they're going to have to, they're going to be there for
Kelly and Michael.
I just want to bring this up. I'm sorry, because we're talking about age. So Ian Ziering and Vivica A. Fox, both 50.
Age appropriate.
Yes. Tara Reid, 38. So when they started dating out of high school, Tara Reid was 8 years old. Like, I mean, like,
okay, maybe it was that then. Maybe it was that. She was an 8 year old that he was into, a little cheerleader.
Do you think
cheering at softball games?
Maybe. Do you think they had anything where they were like, ooh, did you guys know we fucked up? We thought Tara was 45, but we just looked it up and she's 38.
So they're all there for.
For something.
Okay, because here's the thing. They also, it seems like Mark McGrath and Carrie, what's her face?
Were
in New York City maybe for the first time. I know you said
they
were there.
So. I think you're right. They're not there
because
for the
first time. Because they're going to
people who paid more attention
see...
are shouting at their.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because Ian Ziering is from New York. Like, he grew up there.
Then he must be too. Then Mark McGrath and the sister must be as well.
No, I know what it is. Mark McGrath, Kari Wara, and Ian Ziering are all from New York, but the Kari Wara's friend is visiting. That's why they're going to the Statue of Liberty. But Vivica A. Fox is also from New York.
Okay.
And they're going to the baseball game. Like, go take your dumb tourist friend to the Statue of Liberty. We're going to go to the baseball game. We'll meet up with you guys later. I think that's what it was.
Okay. Phew. Well, we answered that.
Although she does say to her daughter, I remember the first time I saw the Statue of Liberty. Implying this
Liberty?
Is the Liberty. You are the worst today.
I said Liberty. No, you said Liberty.
Oh,
rewind
man.
The tape. Rewind.
Did you mean
the first
Liberty?
Time I saw the Statue of Liberty was.
She's 15 years old. How many times do you see the Statue of Liberty in your life? Even if you live there.
If you live there, I don't know. I would assume you have seen it already.
I mean, how many times did you? I mean, yeah. How many times did you go when you lived in New York?
Oh, I went every weekend.
Yeah, I mean,
really?
There was nothing else to do.
I was also trying to help the woman who's frozen in that statue. I was worried.
You tried to wear off the spell, but it never worked.
I also, every weekend, would go and hold a red rose at the top of the Statue of Liberty just to see if anybody was looking for me.
Right.
Because I told someone many, many years ago that I would be on the Statue of Liberty holding a red rose on a Saturday.
Guys, Vivica A. Fox at one point motivates the son, Mark McGrath's son, to do a heroic deed by kissing him.
She kissed everybody in this movie.
By doing the Star Wars reference.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I thought that was weird because I would, as a young kid, I don't know
it's
if
weird.
I'm like super like getting motivated.
Very strange.
It's also like she can't get Ian Ziering sloppy seconds, so now she's going for like a 12-year-old boy.
Yeah, it was a little weird.
I was very upset by her costume too.
In what manner?
Her camo pants?
She looked like Trinity from The Matrix. She looked like...
very strange. I actually thought, at one point, because I really wasn't paying a lot of attention.
Well, all the wardrobe was done at Old Navy, by the way.
At one point, I was like, she's a lesbian. And that's a part of the story.
I thought so, too.
And that's interesting. And I got those cues from that outfit. I didn't know what was going on. And then when I started to realize, oh my God, they're supposed to be love interests. I mean, that's insane. Why wouldn't they?
Because an attractive woman wouldn't dress like that. Is that what you're trying to say, June?
Wow, June. Wow.
Wow. Wow.
Okay, what I'm trying to say.
A heterosexual woman wouldn't wear camo pants.
I agree. There was nothing about her that seemed like. Yes.
Lesbian or no, like if any love interest.
Yes.
Why would she be put in that clothing?
Who knows?
Don't you think she had some say in the fitting? Like,
no.
I do. Yes, I do. She was wearing a magenta V-neck top.
She's like, I'm out to hunt sharks.
I think she was like, I want to be dressed like a badass. Who's going to kick ass at sharks? Not like I want to be like all girled up, sexy.
That's only part of the story. Although she did go to the baseball game in order to lure him into her bed.
Yes,
you are right. She didn't go there with the intention.
The first time after seeing
him,
32 years later, the first thing she does is kiss him deeply on the lips.
Yeah. After putting on a pair of camo pants, these are going to get him.
By the way, didn't she say? And I don't know if I'm misremembering it. Oh, he might be lost. I'm going to go look for him.
Yes.
Oh, you're going to go look for
what? He might have forgotten where our seats are.
By the way, he has a ticket.
That to be remembered.
He has a ticket.
Yes.
And when he sees her, he then says, "Where are the guys?" And she goes, "Let me show you where the seats are."
Yeah.
He has a ticket.
Yeah.
Well, is he so stupid that everyone thinks he doesn't? And he is so stupid because he doesn't just look down at the ticket and see where the seats are.
But that also
he's worried about the sharks.
He doesn't seem that worried.
You know what he's not at all concerned with? The fact that his wife's hand just got eaten off.
He never tells anybody.
They're all like,
everyone's like, yeah, where is she?
What's her name? And he's like, she's at the hospital.
She's fine.
Something happened, but she's fine. Something happened? Her arm was bitten off by a shark.
Yeah.
Hand, I think. But did you notice that?
No. He pulls a full arm out of that shark.
Because she even screams, "My hand, my hand."
Scott, you're really still maintaining that the arm that's
it doesn't make any fucking sense.
Tara Reeves.
I don't think. I mean, I agree that that's better than what they actually shot. I agree that makes more sense.
Yeah,
that if they had shot it that way,
that is what happened.
But do you notice that when they're at the Statue of Liberty, they hear about, oh my God, there was this huge plane emergency landing. They go, oh my God, we have to call Tara Reid and Ian Ziering. They call. Everyone's wrapped with the tension of like, are they okay? Are they okay? Kari Wuerer immediately says, oh my gosh, are you all right? Her daughter goes, what happened? She goes, oh, she was in an accident. She's fine.
Yeah.
They're all wondering, was she on this plane thing?
You know what else happens in this movie all the time? People are able to participate in conversations that other people are only having on the phone.
Yes. Right.
So Ian Ziering is talking to
This movie exists in a world where there's no social media, no cell phones, no anything.
But there's also a thing where Ian Ziering's talking to Kari Wuerer on the phone, I think, and Tara Reid is participating in the conversation as if she can hear Kari Wuerer's
dialogue. That, yes.
Right.
And it's like, I kept being like, why is she answering? She can't hear what's being said. This is a private conversation between people over there on the phone.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Guys, can we just get into when the director, the magical day on set when the director said, hey, Judd, why don't you just improvise some stuff and we'll keep the camera rolling on you.
Yeah, Judd Hirsch, by the way, plays a taxi driver.
He's not Alex Rieger. Keep going.
Yeah.
Wipe out.
But they clearly they clearly kept the camera running on him just to improvise to no real great consequence.
Nothing interesting.
And no good results.
No.
I'm glad they let him do it. That's great. That's just fine. But why leave that stuff?
Yeah.
You have to
trust your director if he's going to say improv a little, that he's going to leave some of the bad stuff on the cutting room floor.
Everybody being like, we need more Hirsch.
This is a movie that not only has Matt Lauer and Al Roker, two of the biggest stars in the film, doing weather segments, but they cut to two other. Weather Channel has a segment, and
there's
then there's
a lot
another
of universal
guy.
Cross
well, and what's
platform.
What's weird about all of the weather reporting is that it's a lot of like, there's a storm coming. There's going to be 2 inches of sharks on the ground.
Two inches of sharks on the ground. They kept saying, and I couldn't figure that out at all.
What's two inches of a shark?
2 inches of shark would be like the bottom 2 inches of a shark's body.
I'm going to tell you that thing made me not want to watch Weather Channel because I felt they were really gimmicky with their shark shit.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what?
Oh, their shark graphics too were terrible.
Terrible. And she treated it as if it was like, oh, we are familiar. It's like we already have the graphics built for Sharknadoes. Like we are in.
Right. But they kept on saying that this was like impending. Like all of the reporting on the Sharknado was like, it's about to happen. It's and it couldn't have been going on. I mean, it was had already been happening.
There were three
in the morning.
There were 3 Sharknadoes
that combined
all on Manhattan.
Independent Sharknadoes.
Yes. Sharknadoes all on Manhattan while people were being like, this could be a bad storm.
With no reason. And that to me is like the laziest thing about this film. Like there wasn't like, oh, there was an earthquake. Oh, there was a something.
It didn't have any of the setup that the first one had. Just one line.
Yes. And I did feel during this viewing, like, you know, this is actually.
Are you at a viewing?
Yes. I went to private screening.
It was Jack Nicholson, Lara Flynn Boyle, you.
I started to feel actually like what we're fighting in this movie, like is all wrong. Like, people are fighting the sharks, and the sharks are innocent victims of what is, like, a very strange weather event.
Well, it's happening. Yeah, it's global warming.
It's global warming, and it's something strange, some environmental effect. And I did.
So, who was the villain in your eyes?
Obama.
Yeah. Duh. Honestly, we should. Humans.
Humans.
Mm, yeah.
It's more like all a human NATO, you know.
But in a way, but it was like at one point I was like, wow, people are really like going to be very, this is going to have an effect. Sharknado is a huge now like pop culture event. This is
what effect is it going to have though?
Well, I scuba dive.
Okay.
Oh, wait, hold on.
Here we go.
Hold the phone. What do you got?
Yes, and there are shark attacks because humans get too close to where sharks have their natural habitats. Mm-hmm. And then we blame them, like there are many bear attacks, for just behaving like bears and behaving like sharks.
Bears behaving badly.
Exactly.
Well, I think what's actually happening, though, is sharks are coming closer to land because the water is warmer where it shouldn't
be. And that's true, too.
And it's the same thing with bears. Bears, because they're running out of food sources in the wild, are having to come down into town.
So we need to make more honey.
Leave their garbage everywhere too.
But what is your point on this?
My point is that at the end of the movie, the big climax is people getting guns, and at one point, someone takes out a pitchfork to kill the sharks.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
machine guns to kill the sharks.
Right,
as though they're the problem.
When it's like, hey, they've been lifted up out of the water.
Let's turn your air conditioner off after 7 p.m.
Yes. I don't know much about sharks. I don't know much about sharks.
Do you scuba dive?
Okay, both of you scuba dive, so I'm going to take what you have to say seriously.
All right, well, here's my thing. After the first Sharknado and the second one, I'm guessing we're kind of running out of sharks, right?
There's thousands of sharks.
93% of the ocean floor is unexplored. There have to be so many sharks.
And you guys know the phrase, fucking like sharks.
Oh, right, yeah.
Sure. You know, like, sharks, all they do is that. Fuck.
I know everybody's like, oh, do Piranha on this show, but fucking Piranha at least had guys.
So says the scuba diver.
You know what? Paul, it's taken you this many episodes to address this. I want you to say it now.
Guys, they gave you a reason for these fucking piranha.
Yep.
There was a drill, and they went in and they opened
and
up another
world. That's why it will never be done on this show.
Yeah.
Because it makes fucking sense. It adds quality movie.
It adds up.
Jerry O'Connell, amazing. Ving Rhames, amazing. Adam Scott, top notch. Elizabeth Shue, on point.
Paul Scheer, stealing scenes right and left. Survives.
Porn stars. British models, we had it all. This movie wishes it was Piranha. Alex Aja, genius, working with Daniel Radcliffe in a movie called Horn. See it at Christmas, you'll know.
What about Piranha 3DD, though?
We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
I had a great time working with Ving Rhames.
I think that
told
this...
me every woman has a butt implant.
Every woman?
Every woman? Yeah.
I only wish.
Are you sure he wasn't saying every woman he would like to implant in their butt? Maybe he just was phrasing it incorrectly.
I think this movie was less successful to me. I really do.
Agree.
Here's my issue. I think the sense of threat was not as palpable. I think they were more jokey about it. They were just looking for buzzy scenes. There was a sense of danger in the first one. I thought the sharks were taken out of it in this sense. They didn't have the threat of sharks. In the first one, remember, there were scenes where they were trapped in, like, waist high in water.
Yes,
and there were
in
sharks.
The house, yeah.
You know, it seemed like it was like, oh, shit, what the fuck is worse than sharks being around, but like a lot of sharks, and this one, it just seemed like it was weather NATO.
Right. They didn't seem fazed by it. It was like, oh, okay, here's 100 sharks. Mom, take out my gun. Bang, 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 bang,
no
bang, 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 bang.
No sense of fear of like, what if this happened to you, which is how a lot of horror movies survive of like,
right.
This just seemed like spectacle.
And they didn't put it through someone's eyes that hadn't experienced it.
If I were writing the movie, what I would have done was really tease out Finn thinking he's seeing sharks for like a while.
Yeah.
Like 3 hours.
For 3 hours.
See? And by the way, this is a taste of what we would have done.
What we are going to do.
This is a taste
of
what we would have done.
Once we finish production on Nundercover, we are going into Sharknado, our version of it.
Let's write a script. How? I mean, it's got to be better than this one,
if we each wrote 20 pages of a script, we could do it.
Let's do it.
I would definitely do it and then do a live reading of it on the podcast.
Now, I mean, maybe your listeners don't know, but we did a Rocky versus Rambo script. I don't know if you read
it. I did read it.
Where we split it up. It was Harris Whittles and Paul Rust and Neil Campbell and Mike Cassidy and Kulop. We all split it up and did 20 pages. It's a masterpiece. It's out there online if you want to read it. We're going to do a live reading at some point, I'm sure. But we should do that with Sharknado 3.
We should write a Sharknado. I think we could all handle 20 pages. I mean,
Sharknado 3, Pig in the City.
The one thing I did want to talk about, just because it wasn't even really addressed, but that bag that Vivica Fox carried around, it was a YOLO bus?
I didn't notice this.
It was like YOLO, YOLO R Us. What? Like she went shopping at a place called YOLO R Us. Because
she said she went to a toy store.
Oh. So it was a Toys R Us font.
Oh, but so they couldn't use Toys R Us, so they called it YOLO R Us?
Yikes.
Oh, boy.
And wait, she just got a bag? Oh, no, she got a slingshot there.
She got a slingshot there. Right. And yeah, Vivica A. Fox seemed unfazed by the sharks, unfazed by dying.
Because she was heartbroken.
She was ready to go.
She was ready to
sacrifice her life.
Yeah.
And does.
She does, right?
Did she die?
She split in half when she and Ian Ziering go to the top of the Empire State Building and attach themselves with maximum electricity to the Freon tanks that are going to then be hit by lightning and explode into the tornado, Sharknado, nullifying it with the explosion. Both of them are electrocuted and launched into the Sharknado, where she is instantaneously sawed in half by a flying shark.
Yeah.
Would have been better if the chainsaw had gotten her.
Yeah,
by the way, why don't they have those sharks? What are the ones that have like needles? Like the ones that look like they're a chainsaw. Is that a shark? Or is that a swordfish?
Yeah.
A swordfish. Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
Weird.
Haven't you done swordfish on this show?
No, we should.
That's a good one.
Yeah,
that's
a good one.
Strange too is like I would also have thought somewhere along the way that New Yorkers were either the story would be that they were scared to fight back or something.
No, you don't do this to New York.
Yeah.
But the reason they start fighting, I couldn't surmise like why now? Why all of a sudden?
Why here? Why now?
Why now? Taking like out their
pitchforks
and
by the way, that was totally shot in L.A. on a back lot. Those pitchforks.
Of course,
things.
How are they allowed to have these machine guns in the back of their trunks?
It's New York.
Just because they're like it's act of God, you're able to shoot machine guns into the air if this happens.
I think it's because of Ian Ziering's speech.
June is mixing a shrug with a yawn.
His speech from the top of the
fire truck
that
I'm assuming is televised.
Literally to 15 people.
Yes. I know. But he says to them.
It was televised.
What he
I
does
saw it
say
during
to them
the movie
is.
Sharknado 2.
He says to them, you better get ready because when I turn off the Sharknado, all the sharks are going to fall to Earth.
Which they have been doing already, and shit's going to get cray.
You know, he basically says that to Robert Klein, the mayor.
Yeah.
And then it happens. They shut down the Sharknado and everybody's like, yay. And then like all the sharks start plummeting to Earth and everybody's like, oh no. And that's when they go to their trunks and pick up everything that's violent.
By the way, he just said, get ready. Why don't they go to their trunks anyway? By the way, this is a bad day for Robert Klein as a mayor. I mean, first he can't stop his leg. And then the Sharknado
Wow, really deep cut on a Robert Klein stand-up routine.
Oh, God. I also was blown away.
You had me. I was also blown.
I was also blown during the course of this movie.
Yeah, bruh.
I was blown away when Tara Reid affixed a buzzsaw blade to her stumped arm, goes to the top
Evil
of the
Dead
Empire
style.
State Building and
her
cuts a
hand.
Shark in half with her hand stump.
Well, why
hand
the
stump, exactly. Yeah,
like,
yeah, not
I don't
an
even,
arm stump.
Don't even really understand how it had the gun in her hand.
Stop flipping me off.
She had a gun and a ring on the guard. Right, so, but yeah, I don't know how she worked that was a
the
very
nephew
quick,
helped. She says, I might need your help.
She attached it to her nerve endings. Like,
yeah.
she, you
like
never
Luke
see,
Skywalker.
Yeah, you never see her actually turn on the thing with her other hand. She just like...
When he rides the shark in midair, I really was. And but
that
you're
was
right,
satisfying.
100%. It should have been surfing.
Can I say I was excited when they brought out the sword though? When they bought a sword.
Oh, I like that was fun too.
Yeah, I was like, oh, good, someone's going to attack a shark with a sword.
I loved when they were like, because this is the other thing. Like, there's also like the part of the beauty of Sharknado 1 was watching them come up with the solutions.
Yes.
And this one, he's like, okay, I need smoke detectors, flares, propane tanks, and duct tape. And they're like, great. They walk into a bodega where there are all of those things.
Yeah.
There are loose flares.
And napalm.
And napalm.
And what they say before they even go into that bodega is like, we're in Times Square. We're going to find this
stuff. Judd Hirsch is like, it's got everything. It's the crosswords of the world.
If you can't find it here, what else can you do?
There's one shelf that on the top shelf is smoke detectors, which he needs. And on the bottom shelf is loose flares, which he also needs.
By the way, how great would it have been if the guy who owned the pizza place was actually...
Bismarcky, you mean?
Well, yeah, Bismarcky. If that was actually Vivica A. Fox's father, it's like, now I respect you.
By the way, that's what it could have been if you fucking assholes had let us write this movie.
Let us do one pass.
We don't even have to do the bones of it. Let us do a pass.
Yes, do a pass. That would have made more sense other than just like cameo bits. Come on.
Scott, will you come back next year? And
look, I'm
talk
here.
About Sharknado 3.
I'm here every August. I will make time for this.
All right. Well, there's no Amazon reviews to read. This just came out last night. And as a matter of fact, we were releasing it the day after. We are releasing it right so as much as you can get it. You're getting it.
Oh, are we putting this out today?
Today. It's coming out tonight.
All right.
Yeah.
Great.
So very exciting for everybody there.
So everybody, I mean, like, look at this. Just like a little extra.
Yeah. So enjoy it all as it replays for the rest of the month on Sci-Fi Network.
They started playing first Sharknado right after this.
Yes.
And I watched a couple minutes of that.
Oh, by the way, Jared never dies. I wanted to bring that up.
Jared from Subway?
Clearly Subway gave them some money.
Yeah.
And they're like, he can't
product placement all over this.
Oh, yeah.
As well as Coors Light.
Yes.
Yeah. And he says something like, when are you guys going to start eating fresh? And then sharks came by and Jared, I guess Subway sandwiches are the ultimate repellent.
Yep. this movie followed the kind of, it had a number of plotty kind of things, which I felt like they wanted to do, but then couldn't really, which is like one of them was... Nobody believes Ian Ziering. Nobody believes the guy who's saying the bad thing is coming.
But it already happened.
But it was there. And that's what I couldn't figure out. Why were people flooded. Why were people skeptical when obviously sharks were falling from the sky?
But again, it brings up the idea that no one's communicating. A whole subway line is flooded.
Yes.
And then it doesn't translate. There's a guy still in his apartment at the very end of the movie.
Why is the shark that attacks them in the subway tunnel able to bite the entire rear of a subway car off? Like, these sharks are also enormous.
Well, they're being thrown at a very high velocity.
Yeah, I guess that's it. It's the velocity.
I did want to bring up this one part. It's near the Judd Hirsch cab part. There's clearly a rip of an AC/DC song, but it's not an AC/DC song, and it's amazing. It's almost like one
like,
note.
Dink, 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 dink.
All right, so...
Wait, keep it going.
I'm here in white! Tara Reid, that's Tara Reid's theme early on in the film. I'm here in white!
And, okay, so at the when Judd Hirsch's taxi is flooded and the sharks are running around, they're able to, like, jump away using a rope.
Yeah.
Everybody escapes but Ian Ziering, except for Judd Hirsch, who's eaten by a shark. But
right.
Ian Ziering has no rope left. And there's sharks swimming all around him, all around, between him and where Mark McGrath is. And he and Mark McGrath at the exact same time have the exact same idea, which is Frogger. They both say Frogger to themselves, and then Ian Ziering jumps on top of multiple sharks, ba-boom, 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 and then jumps all the way across the street to where Mark McGrath is
which
safe.
Which I thought Frogger was about avoiding cars.
It was avoiding cars.
It's not about jumping on frogs.
But he jumped on alligators.
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 He didn't jump on sharks, you proved my point.
He jumped on wood, and you had to avoid jumping on a shark.
Wood is not the same thing as a shark. Okay.
But still, there was that, and there was the bait and switch. Where there was flaming sharks from above and water sharks from below in the stairwell.
Yeah.
And they had to do the old bait and switch so they can grab the miniature axe. But Mark McGrath didn't... He was like, hey, look over here, look over here. And he and Ian Ziering were standing next to each other. There was no shark near the axe.
Yeah. Oh.
I want to bring up when Vivica Fox and Mark McGrath... Ian Ziering were in the elevator. They kept inching forward to the blocking was such, they're in a tiny elevator, but one would have a line and they couldn't just stand next to each other in a static elevator. So they kept like moving in front of each other subtly till they were like basically at the front door of the elevator. Watch that scene again. And they just keep subtly trading places and getting in front of each other.
Well, if someone can explain to me on the corrections and omissions, why when Mark McGrath jumped through that 42, he was really psyched. I didn't get that either. Like, it felt like that was a reference to something.
Jumped through a 42?
Yeah. Jumped through a 42 at the Citi Field. So if we missed anything that you want to talk about on the mini episode, we will address your corrections and omissions. You can leave them on the Earwolf message boards. Anything to plug, Scott?
Yeah, Comedy Bang Bang Season 2 DVD is out there. 5.5 hours of extra video bonus footage plus commentary on every episode.
I like that.
Nice work.
Jason?
If you want to see a really funny movie, Rent, They Came Together. It's on VOD and all that kind of stuff right now. David Wayne. If you like Wet Hot American Summer, this is the next iteation of that kind of a movie.
Really super funny movie.
Paul Rudd, Amy Poehler, and I might be in it.
I'm going to wait for video.
I'm talking about video.
What?
I hate you.
I'm going to plug my new series that I produced and I have a small part in. It's called The Hot Wives of Orlando on Hulu with amazing people like Casey Wilson, Kristen Schaal, Angela Kinsey, Andrea Savage, Kimberly Hill, Weird Al Yankovic, Joey McIntyre, Stephen Tobolowsky. Amazing people. Definitely check that out. It's on Hulu. You can watch it for free. And June, what do you have to plug?
I would like to plug Ass Backwards, which is on Netflix, and you can also buy it on iTunes.
Great. And a big shout out to everyone who helps us here at Earwolf. Brett Morris, who's in here with us, engineering the fuck out of this show. Also, Nate Kylie, who does all of the research. Avril Halley, who does all of our clip pulling. Leanna Waldron, who designs all those amazing graphics on our Facebook page. Katie Dyer, who does all of our social media stuff. And speaking of social media, you can follow us at HDTGM on Twitter. And if we missed anything, tune into our mini episode next week. We will talk about the things that you want to talk about. See you next time. Bye-bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. Oh, oh, oh. The wolf dead.
Hey, everyone, it's Jessica St. Clair.
And Lennon Parham.
Hey, assholes, it's me, John Gabris.
Lauren Lapkus here.
We just wanted to talk about one of our favorite podcasts to be on and to listen to, Improv for Humans.
I'm a huge Improv for Humans fan. I've done a number of episodes myself. A couple great memories. One of them was when I got to argue about whether bestiality was disgusting or not.
A lot of times it's you, me, and Mandzukas and Besser, and it's really old school, and there's something about not being on stage in front of an audience that makes you even crazier than you would be.
If I can recommend an episode to check out or a favorite memory from the podcast, I would say listen to some of the 420 episodes, because those are the ones I like to re-listen to, because I truly don't remember what I said.
Another great episode I loved doing was the Dan Deacon episode. I love his music, and being able to sit like 1 foot away from him and watch him create amazing music was so cool.
That's what's cool, is he gets people on for suggestions, often singers, songwriters.
Really,
if you're a real fan of improv, even if you've never actually heard improv before, this is a great introduction. You can't get better improv comedians than who he has on his podcast.
Everyone needs to be listening to Improv for Humans. Come on!
New episodes every Thursday. Be sure to listen to wherever you get your podcasts. But I recommend Stitcher. They make me say that.